Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent is from Numbers chapter 21. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Do you remember what it was like to be dead? Do you remember what it was like to be following the course of the world? Following the prince of the power of the air, that very same spirit who is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Do you remember what it was like to live in the passions of the flesh, carrying out both the desires of your body and the desires of your mind. Do you remember when you were children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind? For some, that was a relatively brief time, thanks to your parents bringing you to the cleansing, life-giving waters of baptism early in your lives. For others, it was a relatively long time, and God had to hunt you down out in the wilderness before bringing you back into his church and into his kingdom. But whether you were dead for a long time or for a short time, the fact remains that there was a time when you were, in fact, dead in your trespasses and your sins. The fact remains that the only reason you're here right now is because God reached out to you, grabbed you, and breathed life back into you. The very same life that he gave up and breathed out on the cross. Listen, therefore, to the words of Paul, and hear again of the love that your Lord has for you. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. We all know our sin. We all know that we do not do what we're supposed to do. We don't like to admit it, oftentimes even to ourselves, but we do know it. We know that we have trespassed, that is, that we have stepped over the line that God set for us. We know that we have sinned, that we have done evil in the sight of our Lord. And we know just how easy it is to follow evil. Paul gives us three examples of what following evil looks like in our reading for today. The first is following the evil of the world, going along with what everyone else is doing, which is, of course, going along with everyone else as they walk on the path to hell. The second is following the prince of the power of air. You probably don't hear this title all that frequently, but this is one of the titles of the devil. He is the prince of the power of the air, and I want you to think about air for a second. Air is not having form. It's shapeless. You can't pin air down. To an extent, you can't rely on the air to do what you want it to do. We here in Kansas probably know that a little bit more than most people. That the air, the wind, it's unreliable. It's empty. It's not something that you can have faith in. And yet, we love to follow after it. We love to seek after whatever the newest fad is. We love to go after whatever the newest way to do something wrong is. We try to rely on the things that are inherently unreliable. We try to rely on things of the devil, like pride and sin and greed, rather than relying on the love of God. The last one may be the hardest one for us, though. Because you see, the world is outside of us, the devil is outside of us, but our passions, our flesh, is inside of us. It's a part of us. It's hard for us to recognize that the desires of our body, and frequently our mind as well, are in fact sinful. That our sinful nature drives us to do the wrong thing. So that oftentimes, relying on your heart to tell you what the right thing to do, your heart may actually tell you the wrong thing. And that's hard for us to admit. Because we want to think that everyone's good, that everyone at least has a spark of goodness inside of them, and that if everybody would just rely on that, everything would be okay. But that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that if we rely on what's inside of us by nature, that we will in fact be children of wrath. Because that's what's inside of us. Wrath, sin, all of these things. It's hard for us to admit that we deserve the wrath of God. To admit that is to admit that we are not God. It's to admit that there is an authority higher than ourselves. To admit that just because we wanted to do something does not necessarily mean that we should have done it. The truth is that if we stood before God and He looked only at our deeds, that He would condemn us to hell, and that He would be right to do so. Thankfully, He does not judge us by our deeds. Listen as our reading continues. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Do you know God's mercy? It's pretty easy to tell that Paul does. I don't know if you noticed as we were going through the reading, but Paul actually interrupts his thought with this exclamation of his faith, that by grace you have been saved. And then he continues on with the rest of his thought. That's the passion of Christ. That's the faith of Christ that is inside of us. And it is that love of Christ which came down to us when we were dead, when we were those children of wrath that we were talking about. He loved us when we could do nothing. He loved us when we were corpses. He loved us when we were literally just lying there, rotting. And He looked at us and He said, "That person is worth dying for." And then He made that happen. He came and He gave up His life on the cross, and He put that life inside of us through our baptism. He continues to strengthen that life inside of us through the sacrament of the altar. But then, just to make sure that we knew that this was real and that this was true and that this wasn't just some sort of fantasy, Jesus Himself rose from the dead. Jesus proved that you could be dead and yet still live again. And so now we know that even though we were once dead spiritually, we are alive spiritually now. And we know that even though we will be dead physically in the future, that there will come a day when we will be alive again physically in the future. But Jesus went even farther than that. He didn't just give us our life back. He didn't just give us forgiveness and mercy. He then sits us with himself in heaven. He has raised us up. He has made us co-heirs with Christ. We are now in the family of God. We are, instead of being children of wrath, children of God, brothers and sisters of Christ. God proved his goodness by saving us. A less good God would have just destroyed us, or would have left us alone in our trespasses. But our God is not a lesser God. He is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, and the light of light, and he will not abandon his children to the darkness. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. We didn't save ourselves. In fact, we couldn't save ourselves. If you are a corpse, if you are dead, you can't do anything. And that's why God had to do it for us. But that doesn't mean that we can't do anything now. Now we are alive. Now we are living, breathing creatures of God, living, breathing sons and daughters of God. And there is, in fact, work for us to do. Just not necessarily the work that we want to do. It's frustrating for us that we can't save ourselves. We desperately want to be able to save ourselves. But that's just the old Adam in us rearing up his ugly head. But wait, if we can't save ourselves, maybe we can save others. No, not so much. Now, make no mistake, it's good and right and salutary to want others to be saved. What's dangerous is wanting to be the one who saves them. Because that may just be another way that the old Adam inside of you is trying to be God. Because the truth that we need to understand is that it is God who saves. You are not the Savior. You will never be the Savior. And that is a very, very good thing. However, that doesn't mean that there aren't things we can do. Did you catch the reason that God creates us in these verses? There's multiple revealed reasons in Scripture, but this one is perhaps one of the clearest statements of it. God created you in Christ Jesus for good works. Works that God prepared beforehand for you to walk in. And don't let that become a stumbling block for you. Yes, he prepared them for you beforehand. No, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to give you a roadmap as to what exactly you should do in your life. But it does mean that there's a plan. A plan in which you will go out into the world and love people. A plan in which you serve those around you. A plan in which you will do good. A plan which will lead to you meeting Jesus on the last day and hearing the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." The joy which comes not from the deeds that you did, but from the grace of your Lord, who prepared those deeds for you. The mercy of the Lord, who died for you. And the love of the Lord, who created you. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.